This morning from God's inspired word, the gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. After the record of the birth of our Savior, we find verses 21 through 52. 21 through 52, and that's what will serve as our scripture reading today. Luke 2:21 through 52. Text that we especially consider is verses 40 and 52. 40 and 52. Let's begin our reading at verse 21 of Luke 2. When 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. The thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The text that we especially consider this morning is verses 40 and 52. Verse 40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then similarly, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. After our celebration of Christ's birth and our day of pondering upon that incarnation, it's very appropriate for us to consider what happened after he was born. And naturally so, Jesus as a human being grew up. Jesus was a human being. He was fully God, mysteriously, the second person of the Trinity with a divine nature, but in the fullness of time, he had been born to that Virgin Mary, and he was a fully human person. Not a fully human person, but a fully human man. He went through the full experience of a man. Although Scripture calls him the second Adam for a good reason, he was different from Adam, the first Adam in this sense. He was a baby. Adam came as an adult. As a baby, he grew through the years of the toddler age. He transitioned from age to age through the teenage years. He experienced the growing pains. As we see this morning, he went through this growth as a child, become an adult, in order that he might save us as this man who experienced growth. This is one of the most intriguing things to ponder. Not the most important thing in the Scripture about Jesus, but one of the most intriguing things to think about. What was Jesus like as a child? A 10-year-old? A teenager? A young adult? What was his character like? How did he relate to other people? Since he was fully man, he had a brain like us. He had a body like us. He had a soul like us, all of which had to develop. He was perfect in the sense of morally perfect, so that he had no sin, but he was not perfect in the sense that he had a perfect body or a perfectly shaped character at the start. The development had to take place. This was part of his humanity. There was great weakness, great limitation to him as a human being, and that in his limitation and in his weakness, he had to mature, he had to develop. It's intriguing to think about, also because the Scripture doesn't give us very much information about Jesus' growth. It gives us many details about his birth, as we have seen, but after the events which transpired immediately after his birth, there's not much said about Jesus until he's about 30 years old and when he begins his public ministry. After Jesus had been born in Bethlehem, at 8 days old, we saw in the Scripture reading, his parents brought him to the temple. And after they brought him to the temple, after maybe some months, Herod tried to kill Jesus. And so his parents had to take Jesus and flee to Egypt. And then on the way back from Egypt, they were planning to stay in Bethlehem, but an angel had appeared to Joseph and told him to go to Nazareth. And so, at about 2 years old, Jesus is brought to Nazareth, and from 2 years old to 12 years old, there's nothing said about Jesus' life. 10 years. And then at age 12, Luke gives us this one historical record, that story of Jesus going with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. But then, silence again from 12 years old until 30 years old. What happened in those years? It's intriguing to think about what may have happened. The scripture gives us a summary of what happened during those silent young years. And it gives us a summary of those years in verses 40 and 52 that we consider this morning. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and grace. The grace of God was upon him. And from 12 to 30 years old, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Consider, Jesus grew. Jesus grew first, the meaning of that. Secondly, the manner in which he grew. And finally, the comfort that we receive in knowing these truths. There are four ways that God's Word shows us Jesus grows in these early stages of his life. First, notice that Jesus grew physically. Verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. And stature, that is, Jesus physically matured. Although he was God, although he had infinite power as to his divine nature, remember, today the scripture focuses us on his human nature. As a human being, Jesus' life began as a speck, as a little weak speck in the womb of his mother Mary. The Spirit had used Mary's very flesh and blood to form Jesus, his heart, his lungs, his cardiovascular system, his fingers, his toes. And then he was born as that weak babe. And then Jesus grew like a normal child upon the nourishment of his mother's milk, upon his parents nurturing and feeding and caring for him. He gained strength. He developed that hand and eye coordination. He learned to crawl. He learned to play. He learned to run. He probably enjoyed games with the children in his neighborhood. He was a male who hit the teenage years. I'd even say puberty. He grew strong as a young man. His muscles were formed. As he worked with Joseph, that carpenter, his hands were calloused from many days' labor of cutting and hammering and sanding. Jesus grew in stature. Now, sometimes artists wrongfully have tried to picture Jesus, and most often when people speak of Jesus or think of Jesus or picture Jesus as a man, they think or speak of him as this frail, pale, anemic person that didn't look like much, didn't have great stature. Scripture says he grew in stature. And if he worked diligently with Joseph as a carpenter, which he did, then he must not have been a weakling. He grew. Evidence of the scripture shows he was in the line of David. He had royal blood. He was related to David and his other brothers who were tough men, shepherds, and a king. He was a carpenter in the working class society. His appearance later on would attract people so that they had no problem. People have taken very much to looks. They had no problem with wanting him to be king. By his appearance. Verse 52 indicates that from year 12 years old and onward especially, he grew in stature. He would need that stature. He would need that physical strength that God gave to him as he grew up. In order to travel back and forth from Galilee to Judea many times, to cover many miles, to be able to have the stamina and the endurance through his public ministry. Scripture describes him as meek and lowly, but the Bible doesn't talk about him as weak and lowly. Yes, he was weak in the sense that when compared to God, when he had to come as a babe, he was weak compared to the divine, but not the weakest of men when compared to others around him. He grew in stature. Secondly, as Jesus grew physically, he also grew mentally, as most children do. Verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom. Now, this wisdom is more than intellectual knowledge. We'll see that in a few moments. But wisdom is, it includes intellectual knowledge. Jesus grew in mental abilities. This is something that we, most of us, don't often think about, but Jesus had to learn. Again, as to his divine nature, since he was God, yes, he was omniscient as God. But don't you imagine that his brain, his human brain, had every bit of information included within it? No, he was a human being with a human brain. And as a little baby, Jesus did not know how to talk. He did not know the Greek language. He had to learn his alphabet. He had to learn how to read. Children, this is very interesting. Jesus probably went to school like you. He knew what it was like to struggle in his studies, with his homework, and on his tests. He came home and his parents had to teach him, and he had to learn the many different subjects of the day. He didn't. Whenever he was taught something by his teacher's children, when his teacher taught him something, he didn't say, "Oh, I already knew that." But like us, he thought, "Yes, I didn't know that before. That's something new to my human mind." After a lot of learning, Jesus' brain felt tired. He felt like he couldn't learn anymore at times. He had difficulty concentrating. Jesus understands what it's like to grow and learn. In fact, at some point in his mental development, Mary and Joseph probably had to teach Jesus who he was. Mary and Joseph had to explain what Jesus, his name Jesus, meant, what the significance was behind it. Mentally speaking, Jesus had to process the information and learn about his own identity and the work that he had come to do. Jesus had to grow in wisdom. And thirdly, God's word even says that Jesus grew socially, physically, mentally, and socially. Some people think this isn't important, that children have to grow socially. This ability to relate to other people in different social settings and to different people of different ages. This ability to make others feel comfortable while you talk and to be comfortable in day-to-day conversation with others in a certain culture. Some don't value this part of growing up, but that was essential to Jesus' development or growth. In verse 52 we read, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man." Think about that. Jesus grew to be well-liked by others around him. He was a kind boy who was kind and tender with his classmates. He was respectful toward his parents and teachers and elders. He was able to engage in thoughtful conversation with those around him. He wasn't antisocial. He didn't exclude himself from the rest and said, I don't want to go through those experiences where I might not know what to say, or others might feel uncomfortable around me, so I'm just going to sit in my home away from everyone else. Then he wouldn't have grown socially. But he came among the people that he wanted to save and that he loved. He conformed even in the sense of cultural norms of dressing and accent and manner of speaking. All, of course, not including sin. But he wasn't some oddball, some weirdo. But he grew in favor with man. He grew socially. He understood Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." He thought it of great value as he grew up to please men. Sometimes we think it's wrong to please men because we are prone to seek to please men more than God. That's wrong. But Jesus, properly speaking, as he sought to please his Father, perfectly moral sense, also sought to please men. Love his neighbor. Be kind. Be socially adept. Physically, mentally, socially, and finally, Jesus grew spiritually. This is one of the most mysterious parts of Christ's growth, but the text is very clear on that, and especially emphasizes that. Verse 40, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." That last phrase, "the grace of God was upon him," When we think about grace, we often think of unmerited favor, the love of God shown to sinners who don't deserve any of it. Of course, that's not the kind of grace God had to show to Jesus, because Jesus wasn't a sinner. But grace, in essence, grace literally means a beautiful favor, the beauty of God. That's why we have the word graceful. Someone who is graceful has great beauty, and often with that beauty he favors or she favors another. God had a gracefulness toward Jesus. And in his graceful favor towards Jesus, he helped Jesus grow spiritually. He put into Jesus' soul more and more wisdom. And now wisdom is not only intellectual knowledge, as we said, but wisdom is the proper application of that knowledge, is the ability to take that knowledge and have it not just remain up here, but to have it sink down into your heart. Wisdom is the ability to take that knowledge and then live out of that knowledge, apply it to your life. It's wisdom. Jesus increased in this wisdom. More and more knowledge sank down to his heart, and more knowledge was shown, was exhibited in his life of living for the glory of his Father. He was filled with wisdom. He was strong in spirit, that is, his soul. Or his, that's what his spirit is. His soul was filled with spiritual strength. He grew in this way. And we might ask, why did Jesus need to grow spiritually? And his wisdom, did his soul really need maturing? Wasn't Jesus perfect again, we come back to? Why would he need this spiritual fortification? Why would he need this increase in wisdom? Wasn't he already spiritually strong, and perfect in that sense? Well, that brings us to a common misunderstanding, a common heresy that others have come up with in the past, in the history of the church, and the church has denied it. And it's this heresy that we often fall into thinking that Jesus' soul or his heart was divine. Sometimes with our human minds, we try to explain how God was both fully man and fully God. And we think, well, he then would be fully man as to his body and fully God as to his soul. No, that's not true. Jesus was fully man. And that means he was fully man as to his body and fully man as to his soul also. His soul, though without sin, was weak like ours. It needed development. It needed an increase in this wisdom and in this spiritual strength. To understand this mystery a little, perhaps you can think about Jesus at this age, 12 years old or 10 years old, being brought into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights intensely. Jesus wasn't ready at 10 or 12 years old to face what God had for him to face at 30, because he was still growing as to his human soul. This is God's way of emphasizing to us this morning, Jesus was a real human. He wasn't some superhero or some demigod with a Herculean mind, but he was human. He was limited like us. But there's a couple differences, of course, between Jesus and us. When Jesus grew, there was an acceleration in his growing. There was an advancement in his growing beyond the ability that we, children, young people, adults, beyond the ability that we have. Verse 40 says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the emphasis of verse 40 there with these adjectives is that he didn't just grow in spirit, but he grew strong. He didn't just grow in wisdom, but he was filled with wisdom. He was advanced in all these things. And this comes out especially in the story that Luke gives us when Jesus was 12 years old, when his parents brought him to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. His parents assumed that Jesus had joined the big family and company, the caravan back towards their home in Nazareth. They were a day's journey away before they realized Jesus was still back in Jerusalem. And after 3 days searching, they found him. Where? They found him in the temple court, perhaps sitting on the steps there, surrounded by doctors or professors, you want to put it that way. You can think of professors of theology at our seminary who were supposed to know more than everyone else in the church about God. They had studied, they were older, they had years of experience and thinking about and debating these concepts in God's Word. And surrounding Jesus, they were astonished. Verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. In verse 47, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Jesus was raising his hand, children, and asking questions that these professors of theology could not answer. Not to stump them, but because he wanted to know, wanted to grow in his understanding as a boy. And Jesus was answering their questions toward him with insightful answers that they hadn't thought about before. And that proves how accelerated Jesus' mental and spiritual growth was. Accelerated and yet limited. Grew at such an advanced rate. And that had to do with the manner of his growth. The way that God grew Jesus as a human. There are two aspects of his manner of growth which really helped him. Though he grew as a real human being with weaknesses and limitations like us, he grew up, first of all, without sin. That was the manner. This was the main reason that Jesus was able to be advanced in his abilities mentally and spiritually. Children, imagine that. Imagine this with me. Children, listen. Imagine this with me. Think about Jesus at school. Think about Jesus in the carpenter shop of Joseph. Think of Jesus with his friends. Think of Jesus as a child who never sinned once. Not even once. Never pushed his sibling. Never spoke against his parents. Never disobeyed. Never even thought about sin. No wonder he grew at such a fast pace. Because, very important principle, sin hinders our growth, mentally and spiritually. Sin is what gets in the way of us thinking clearly, often. Sin is what inhibits our learning, growing all these ways, spiritually, mentally, socially, and so on. But Jesus now, he's at school with his teachers, he's learning, and he doesn't sin. He listens to every word that his teachers say out of respect for them. He doesn't get lazy with his work. He was tired, but he pressed on in his studies. He didn't quit, even though he felt like his brain was about to explode at times. He had the self-control about him so that he was able to say no to the fun things he would rather do at a certain time and focus on the studies that he was called to do. That's unlike us who are growing up and learning, isn't it? That's why he advanced further than the other students in his learning and in his wisdom and in his spiritual strength. Parents, children, here's a brief application here. It's not the main point, but it's good to think about. We've thought about Jesus without sin and how he advanced because he was sinless. While it is true that children and young people have mental handicaps, there's no doubt that obviously some children must learn at a slower pace because of mental difficulties, dyslexia, special needs. They need extra help and special education. No one's denying that. But the reason we saw of Jesus' accelerated mental abilities was because he put aside sin. He refrained from sin. And that means that sin is one of the main reasons which stops us and our children from learning in the way that they should be learning. So let us be careful, parents, that as we diagnose our children properly with ADHD and the other mental hardships and difficulties that our children may have, be careful not to forget the depravity, the sinfulness of our children, and to address the sin at the same time, which is often a particular reason that's getting in the way of our children's learning. Not only a mental difficulty, but the sin of laziness, the sin of a lack of perseverance, and an unwillingness to listen and honor their teachers and parents. It is a responsibility of us that we as parents and we as children turn from our sin so that we can grow as Jesus grew. What helped Jesus accelerate growth was his sinlessness. And secondly, it was also his divine nature. It was the manner in which he grew. His divine nature helped or supported his human mind and his human body. Well, this is mysterious. But think about this, people of God. Think about your beautiful Savior. He was fully man, as we said, both as to his body and to his soul, but intimately joined, intimately united to his humanity was the divine person of God the Son. One of the creeds that we hold to, said the Creed of Chalcedon, says, without mixture, without separation, perfectly united. The divine did not change the human nature so that it stopped becoming human. That would not have been good, and Jesus wouldn't have been able to save us. But the divine and the human were closely united so that divine nature of Jesus helped his human nature constantly through his life. That's how he grew. To think about it, think about Jesus on the cross. Fast forward. Jesus, we said, as to his human nature, had to suffer the burden, the eternal weight of God's wrath on the cross. But his human nature by itself could not. Because as we say in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5 and 6, a mere man cannot sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver us from it. So what happened at the cross was that Jesus' divine nature didn't take over the human nature, but his divine nature helped. Funneled into his divine nature, strength just enough to hold, to bear up under the weight of God's eternal wrath for us. That's not only what happened at the cross, that's what happened throughout Jesus' life. Grace flowed from his divine nature to his human nature. Grace every day, day by day, he grew in that way. But now we move from this depth of God's word to something that we can understand a little better. The manner of Jesus' growth was sinless and helped by his divine nature, but his manner of growth was also ordinary like us in this sense. He grew with the means of parents, faithful, godly parents like Mary and Joseph. That's what we see here in Luke 2. Mary and Joseph behaved themselves as godly parents from the start. In verse 22 and on, we read, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple. Parents, familiar? Brought Jesus to the house of God. After he was 8 days old, they had him circumcised. And then, Luke 2, verse 23, this is what they did. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. That means they brought him before the Lord, and they said, we dedicate this child to him. To the utmost of our ability, the utmost of our power, we'll raise him up according to God's word, the aforesaid doctrine. Familiar, parents? And that's what Mary and Joseph vowed in the temple. That's what Mary and Joseph carried out. Well, they never had to give Jesus a spanking. They were the only parents who spared the rod and didn't spoil the child. Because Jesus never sinned. He didn't need correction. But they were diligent raising him up nevertheless, according to the Scriptures. They were diligent in teaching him. They were diligent in talking to him around the family table. They were diligent in teaching him not only the skills of a carpenter and the skills of day-to-day life, but they were diligent in teaching him God's holy word. And one of the aspects of their teaching of him according to God's holy word was this. One of the most important aspects was this. They brought Jesus to worship God with them. Mary and Joseph were faithful worshipers. In verses 21 and following, we saw Mary and Joseph go to the temple, not only to dedicate Jesus and to have him circumcised, but to worship the God of their salvation. And then we see in verses 41 and following, Joseph and Mary traveled the 100-mile journey, remember, from Nazareth back down to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to worship God. And they did that every year. Who do you think they brought with them? Jesus, when he was 12 years old, able to make that journey, that long trip with them, brought him. Every year after that. Who do you think Mary and Joseph brought with them to the synagogue? Every day, the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus, that's why he grew up, to go to the synagogue every Sabbath day, as was his custom, Luke 4, verse 16 says. This was his habit, because he had grown up doing this with Mary and Joseph. It was through Mary and Joseph's faithful worship. Jesus saw them worshiping God sincerely. When Jesus saw them worshiping God regularly. When Jesus saw them come to worship God with sincerity, in spirit, and in truth, that Jesus grew by means of these faithful parents. And yes, parents, that's how Jesus had to grow. And that was the means that God used for Jesus to grow. It is. Then you better be sure, better be certain that that's the way our children grow also. But children, talk to parents, and I speak to you, children. Not only were Jesus' parents good parents, Jesus himself was a respectful, submissive son. That was also the way that he grew. Because children, because young people, young adults, you at home still, parents can teach you everything they know. They can send you to a Christian school and give you a Christian education. They can bring you to church and worship God regularly, and you could reject everything that they taught you. Jesus humbly submitted to his parents so that he could learn from them. Notice verse 51, children, the verse right after the story where Jesus had gone to Jerusalem and had talked with the professors in the temple. Jesus had just proven that he was wise beyond his years, that he knew a lot, more than his parents, perhaps, that he was spiritually mature, more than his parents, perhaps. And he comes home, young people, children. He went down with them, his parents, verse 51, and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Jesus, who knew more than his parents and didn't sin like his parents, even though he saw their foolishness, he saw their sins and their sins even against him, he just proven that he was smarter even than his parents, came home and he placed himself under them. Can you imagine how difficult that was at times? Because he didn't just imagine that he was smarter than his parents, as most young people do. It really isn't true. But he was. He knew more about God than them at this point, probably. He still placed himself under them. And this was how he grew. This was how he could submit himself under God and lower himself to that degree of suffering under the hands of sinful, wicked men on the cross. He learned humble submission growing up so that he could humble himself to the death of the cross. If Jesus needed to learn that, I say we all do. Jesus grew as a real human being. He knew what it was like to grow up. But this is not just an interesting teaching from God's Word. It doesn't only give us examples to follow, but it's of great comfort. Jesus had to grow in this way for our salvation. We need to think of this human growth as part of His suffering. Think about it. Remember, He is God the Son. He didn't have to come down to be made like unto us. He didn't have to lower Himself to be made in a limited human child. But He did. He lowered Himself to that degree. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He humbled Himself, took on our nature. He became finite with a human brain, with an immature soul of a weak, crying child. This was part of His suffering. Think of the growing pains. Think of the mental difficulties, the weak soul, the learning He had to push through, temptations of a teenager, the need to submit to sinful parents. There was suffering involved in Jesus' growth. And all that suffering, you see, was part of His suffering for us. It was not only at the cross that He suffered for our sins. That was the most important point, of course. But it was through His life, growing up, that He suffered for our salvation. Growing up was not only part of His suffering for us, but secondly, it was a preparation for His most important suffering later on. Remember, Jesus wasn't ready physically or spiritually as to His soul, or mentally, or socially, to suffer the temptations in the wilderness. And He was not ready to go to the cross yet at 2, at 4, at 10, at 12. He needed to be prepared. That was what God was doing for Jesus in this manner, through His parents and through His divine nature and His sinlessness. He was pressing on toward the mark of the high calling that He had. He was going through this growth to be ready to pay the price at that cross. This growing up, this manner, this way, was His preparation to do that work of a lamb who shed His blood for our sins. And as part of His human suffering for us, He not only grew up and was prepared for this future work, but He went through that growth to help us now. This was the way that He could be an understanding intercessor, you see. Children, young people, this ought to be a great comfort to you. He understands you. This is often minimized today. Adults tend to forget how difficult it is to grow up. Adults tend to minimize the trials and hardships of children and young people. And sometimes it's true. Young adults, you don't get much sympathy. You're told, get over it and get it done. Move on. Puff up. Toughen up. And you need to be told that sometimes. But often you don't get any pity, any sympathy, any understanding from others around you. Learning is difficult. There is stress. There is hardship. Submission and obedience is not easy. Called to do it, but it is difficult. While no one else might understand, Jesus does. He doesn't forget like adults do. He knows. Hebrews 4:15, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. All our infirmities are weaknesses. Jesus is that high priest who was touched with those feelings. He understands what it was like. For in all points He was tempted like as we are, but without sin. He knows. And He pities. He has great compassion. Children, when no one else might understand you, know that your older brother, Jesus, does. He not only understands and pities you, but He prays for you with a better prayer than any adult or any person on this earth can pray. He prays sincerely and earnestly on your behalf. And of course, God answers. He helps you through that test. He helps you through those emotional downs and lows. He helps you through difficulties of growing up. That's part of His help, not only as an understanding intercessor, but as an understanding spirit. Who do you think works in your hearts, children? Who do you think enables you to press on, to fight against your sin, to grow up as Jesus grew up, a small way similar to him. Well, it's Christ Jesus himself who grew up. Christ Jesus comes into your heart to help you learn, to help you develop, to help you to be prepared for the calling in life that God has given you. The same divine nature which empowered Jesus to grow. We saw that, remember? Divine nature empowered Jesus as a human to grow. That same divine nature empowers us, his people, so that what is said about Jesus can be said about us and you children. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This word of God this morning commands you children, young people, young adults, and parents. It commands us, of course, to grow as Jesus did and to be faithful in helping our children grow as Jesus did. It commands us this, but it doesn't leave us with that and just that. It reminds us of the gospel too. Jesus grew to suffer and die for the forgiveness of all our failures and sins, but also this, that Jesus grew so that now he himself by his Spirit can come into all our hearts that we may grow as he grew. Jesus grew so that he might help us increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thy children, thy sons and thy daughters. That's precious to us. Because as thou didst have great favor upon Jesus thy Son, increasing him in wisdom and stature, favor, so we know. And thou dost have the same favor toward us, thy children also, in him. Grow us, Lord, unto the full measure, the spiritual gifts that thou hast chosen to give us, so that we might carry out our callings faithfully, so that we are prepared as we grow spiritually.